I am Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. Will you put your hat on, please?
No. NASA, don't worry about it. It's raining. The astronauts won't be blinded today. Anyway, joining us is Mark Scheuer.
There we go.
We were just laughing about how we murder names on a regular basis.
Yes, we are. We're official name murderers.
From PS Engineering. Now, as I recall, and I'm probably not right, you guys got started just making a little audio panel.
Little intercom. Called the AeroCom, and this happens to be our 40th year as an exhibitor here.
Wow. So,
yeah, it is a while because I wanted to make a three-ring binder of all of our historical innovations, and after that two-month exercise, I'm going, where did that time go?
Yeah.
It was eye-opening.
40 years.
Yes, sir.
My God, electronics itself has changed so much in 40 years.
It has, and that's one of the things I'm so proud of our company, is we strive to innovate, not for technology's sake, but for functionality that the pilots will appreciate. We don't have features, we have functions.
Okay. One of the functions that I wonder about is, last 15-second playback, that kind of thing. Can you do that?
We invented that in 1988.
Oh, of course.
we actually used digital signal processing back there, mm-hmm. back then, and it was called FlightMate. And it was an intercom that anything you could speak or spell, you could play back, frequencies, clearances and so forth. But recording the aircraft radio in FlightMate was not part of the product definition, but it did it. So we were surprised when we started doing tests, it's recording the aircraft radio, we can play it back. So ever since then, we've always had digital radio playback.
Nice. Yeah, it was kind of an oops.
It was unexpected, but not a oops, because it's very functional.
Yeah. That's when a mistake becomes a marketing point.
Correct.
Don't you touch it. It's perfect.
So, yeah, the thing is, the technology only helps us to provide that functionality. And I've been very fortunate to surround myself with really smart people. And as I get older, I'm depending upon them more and more. So, yeah.
That's wild. What's the latest innovations then?
Well, so in 2017, we started to get into special mission aircraft, and that's contributed to our CRADA. It's a cooperative research agreement with the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base back in 2012, where they licensed us our patented technology for multi-talker. And so in 2017, we entered this market where you have 4, 6, 8 individual controllers for observers and pilots and co-pilots, and they can place the 8 radios. Believe it or not, they're listening to 8 radios simultaneously, which is...
That's nuts.
Overwhelming.
Yeah.
But with multi-talker, it's not, because they can place the radios in 9 unique positions, and they'll put the radio that's most important, they'll put it at 12 o'clock. And the one that's...
Oh, you're saying, so you're phasing the audio, so
yes.
When you're listening, it sounds like the radio is coming from over here, and the main radio sounds like center.
And phasing is exactly what we do.
Right.
It's done by digital signal processing, and it's amazing that you knew that.
Well, my background's electronics.
Oh,
I cheated.
That makes sense.
But that's really wild. So it's a spatial thing.
It is.
That's really cool.
And we thank the U.S. Air Force, the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Interesting story. In 2012, this guy with a suit coat came up and he said, how would you like to license some technology from the Air Force? I said, sure. I put his business card in my pocket because I wasn't sure if it was legit. Got back to the office, looked at his card. He was a patent attorney and was a contractor for the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And 2014, their engineers came to Knoxville, talked with our engineers, mind melded, and we took their PC into an audio panel.
Wow. So there's a lot of intelligence in an audio panel these days.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, I think what I would like to talk to about is the history of the company, because it's really, really
remarkable. Yeah, and you've been around a long time. You started out small.
In fact, this is my 41st year at Oshkosh, because my first year I wasn't an exhibitor in 1985, and I brought my little AeroCom, which rated golden in the spaghetti factor for a portable intercom because you didn't have the traditional wires draping over the rudders or having the jacks interfering with the control knobs. And I would walk around the field and show the AeroCom and ask the pilots, what do you think of this? And when they learned that the AeroCom had individually gated microphones, we were the first to do that, they understood that it would reduce the amount of cockpit noise.
Right.
And that was the beginning. And then in 1990, we saw a huge need for a good panel-mounted intercom, and thus the PM1000, in which included all the requirements to produce a TSO product. It was FAA TSO, the first panel-mount intercom that had TSO. And then the next thing we did, and I think this was definitely the biggest inflection point, was the PMA 6000 audio panel. To the best of my knowledge, it was the first audio panel to integrate an intercom. And they loved it because it just eliminated all the wires from an intercom that was either on the floor or somewhere in their panel. And it gave a lot. So it was the first to provide split mode, where pilot can be on COM 1, co-pilot can be on COM 2. We patented IntelliVox. It was the world's first, to the best of my knowledge, an automatic Vox circuit for general aviation. No more adjusting the Vox or just the squelch control. And it also had the swap, first one, and we had that patented, where you can change from COM 1 to COM 2 with a momentary push button on your yoke. And at one point, which I'm very proud of, is that we were practically in every airframe as standard equipment. Of course, competition came in, and it was a little bit of a struggle, but yeah, we overcame that.
No laurel resting here.
No. No. But now, general aviation is a good 50% of our business, but again, as I mentioned, special mission, and now business aviation. So most of our audio panels were always designed to be plug and play with existing audio panels. There happens to be an audio panel in legacy jets, of which there are about 3,000 of them, that have an audio panel that can't be repaired anymore. And in jets, to remove an audio panel is expensive. It's not just the expense of the hardware, but they're having to do the rewire for a new system. Well, we introduced and we are now shipping an audio controller that in a legacy jet, they remove the four Zeus screws, remove the audio controller, unscrew this old Canon jack with 67, 69 pins. They take our new audio panel, namely the PAC-37, connect the Canon plug, put it back in, and because it's TSO'd, same form factor and operation, it's a simple logbook entry, is what our MROs are doing.
Nice. Nice. Pilots now want music. They want Bluetooth. They want the cell phone. You've got all that.
Oh, yes. Everything that you just mentioned, I believe PS Engineering was the first ever to produce it. 2010 was the first Bluetooth audio panel. In 2008, we actually integrated a Sirius satellite radio inside of our audio panel.
Wow.
It's what we do. And the thing that you mentioned, music, so in 1992, we were here at AOPA, and a good friend of mine, Mark Cook, formerly of AOPA, now he's with Kit Planes and doing a remarkable job of writing, he said, Mark, your music is muting all the time. That's frustrating. I said, well, what do you suggest? I think you should have soft mute. And what would that do? And he goes, you have a switch? And I'll put it in the karaoke mode, where the music is in the background. It doesn't
right,
go up and
drops
down.
Drops the level. Yep.
Right. So that's an example of what we do. We listen to our customers, and then if it can be done at a reasonable investment, we'll do it.
Right. That's wild. It's an often overlooked part of the airplane, I guess. You need it.
We called it the Rodney Dangerfield of the avionics.
Yeah, you're right.
No respect.
Yeah, I just plugged the headphones. I want to tell you about.
And what's so cool about Oshkosh is this is where my wife was raised, and I grew 39 nautical miles from here, in Manitowoc, And coming here to Oshkosh is like coming home.
Yep.
So it's a very, very special place.
You don't live in the area anymore.
No, we moved to Knoxville, Tennessee, 1986.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that.
I was going to say.
I can't think of a good reason, but
well,
whatever.
Did the company go with you, or did you keep it here?
So I was... When I graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, I got my dream job, the job I've always wanted since I was probably 13 years old as a ham operator. I graduated from Madison, and I got to work at Hewlett-Packard. So from 1983 to 1994, I sold test and measurement instrumentation. But because of the way HP was, I knew that I could tell them I had my own business, and I started PS in 85, and I left HP in 94, and it was never a secret, and I'll just share this story. It's remarkable. I hadn't thought about this until just a couple of years ago. So I had the opportunity to have lunch with John Young, who is the CEO of Hewlett-Packard. This was in 1992, and he looked to me, and he asked, "How's your business?" I said, "Well, I had Martin Marietta, Raytheon, Texas Instruments, et cetera." No. "How's your business?" "Oh, PS Engineering. Yeah, it's doing really well." He goes, "I love my intercom." "Oh, you got the PM1000 too?" "Yeah, I have it in my Bonanza." It was remarkable. And that's the way HP was. So in closing, I'll just say that if it wasn't for my time with Hewlett-Packard, PS Engineering wouldn't have the culture as it has today.
Right. That's really cool.
That is.
We want to thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for this opportunity. It's very fun.
Yeah, it's got some really wild audio panels there.
Yes, we do.
I can't wait for AI.
I can.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.